Canto 4. Let pain or pleasure touch a faculty of ours, and soon our soul will concentrate entirely on that. It seems to be alert to that one power. All others wait. And this exclusiveness is contrary to any notion that one soul has been brought high above our several souls, for such was Plato's error. That's a thing we've seen or heard can occupy the soul so much, time passes and one doesn't know it. For the faculty attuned to it is one, and that which holds the whole soul is one more. The first one bound, the second free to run. Of this I had experience. This soul, Manfred, I'd heard and marveled at, and while I'd been absorbed, the sun had climbed a whole 50 degrees, and in my usual style, I hadn't seen it do so. Then we came to where the spirits all together cried, "Here's what you want!" And opening the same in shape, but many times as wide. The peasant fills with forkfuls of thick thorn to keep thieves from the grapes when they grow dark. Our own gap in a hedge we now found torn before us in the rock. That was our mark. Now that the group had left us. You can go up to San Leo, or down all the way to Noli, or climb where the rock is so steep at Bismantova, the locals say the town's a summit, and all that on foot. But here, you had to fly. With the quick wings, I mean, of great desire, with plumage put to the high task of following what brings us hope, the guidance that for me made light. We climbed inside the rock. The surface on each side pressed close to us. The walls were tight. The floor was rough, for hands and feet. Upon all fours, almost, we reached the upper edge of the high bank on the open hillside. "So, master," I said, "which way?" There on the ledge, he said, "Not one step back. The way to go is up, and close behind me, till some wise guide comes for us." The summit was so high, it went beyond the limits of my eyes. The slope went up more steeply through the sky than a right angle bisected. I was spent when I spoke thus, "Sweet father, look back here. Unless you stop, I'm left alone." He bent back down and said, "My son, a place is near where you may rest a while. Just drag yourself as far as there." He pointed to the rim above, of what soon proved to be a shelf that ran around the hill. Inspired by him, I forced myself to clamber the last few hard yards behind him till the ground turned flat. We sat there facing east, from which we too had come, as revelation does, so that was probably a help. The shore below was where I bent my eyes first. Then I raised them to the sun and marveled we were so struck by it from the north. It should have blazed in summer south. The poet noted well how stunned I was the chariot of light went by in the wrong place. "If it befell," he said, "that parties to this brilliant sight, along with the sun's mirror, were the twins Castor and Pollux, then that growing wheel, the zodiac, whose timeless flight begins and ends in north and south, you'd see now steal still closer to the bears, unless it quit its usual path. If you would ponder how this thing might be, put all your mind to it. Picture Jerusalem and this hill. Now think of them placed on earth so that they share just one horizon, but their hemispheres are each their own. Then in the air you'll see how Phaeton's highway here appears, the road he failed on and so sealed his fate, on this side of the mountain, and Zion on that. Just think about it, concentrate." "Truly," I said, "master, my doubts are gone. I can see clearly now, as never yet, for lack of wit, that the mid-circle of celestial motion, which is always set between the sun and winter up above, the equator, to use the special name one science gives it, lies, as you said, why as north from here as Hebrews saw the same straight line move south towards a different day, on hotter land. But if it pleases you, I'd like to know how far we have to go. This mountain needs more than my eyes can do to reach its peak." And he, The start below on this hill's always hard, but as you climb higher, it takes less effort. Therefore, when it seems so pleasant in the course of time that going up is far less taxing, then, when the ascent is like a drift downstream by boat, then you will find the high trail's end. There you must rest your weariness. I deem this to be truth. This answer I defend and say no more. As soon as he had said these words, a voice nearby, "Perhaps before you get that far you'll need a seat." Eyes led by that sound, we both turned, and there we saw a great stone we had neither of us seen till then. We went there. There were people there in the shade, resting, as men whose rest has been sought out through indolence. One with an air of weariness, his arms around his knees, sat with his face between them. "My dear lord," I said, "behold, for here are mysteries. The laziness of this one could afford comparison with sloth, as if she were his energetic sister." The soul turned, slowly took note of us, and deigned to stir his face above his thigh, so I discerned an inch of space between them. "You're so strong," he said. "Go up." I knew who it must be, and my fatigued breath, still short from the long ascent, only for moments hindered me from going to him. He scarce raised his head when I reached him. "Have you made out the way the chariot is driven?" the soul said. "By the sun past your left shoulder?" His display of lazy movement and his few words moved my lips to smile a little. I began, "Bellacqua, since your future is approved, I do not grieve for you. But if you can summon the urge, pray tell me why you sit just here. Is there an escort you await? Or are you back to form? Can that be it? Slow off the mark and always running late?" And he, "My brother, tell me, what's the use of going up? God's angel at the gate would never let me through on an excuse to meet the torments. First the heavens must revolve around me while I wait outside as long as when I lived, and it is just. Because I was so late I rightly sighed, unless a helpful prayer should first arise from some indulgent heart that lives in grace. A sinner's pleading scarcely signifies in heaven." Now the poet took his place before me, saying, "Come on, use your eyes. The sun strikes the meridian, and night treads on Morocco's shore and its last light."